Hey y'all, welcome to the Silver Spoon Podcast. I'm your host, Kennedy Alsop. I am so excited to have you guys here today with a very special guest. Before I introduce her, we are going to be talking a little bit about one of the most influential factors, I believe, in our lives, which is religion. Oftentimes, religion influences how we think, how we act. And of course, since this is a personal finance podcast, we're going to talk about what the Bible says about our money, because I think it is important that we take a look at different scriptures that share a little bit about how God intends for us to use money, how he intends for us to sow into ourselves, into others. For those out there that are of the Christian faith, we definitely wanted to bring this to you, given that Easter is right around the corner. By the time this episode drops, it'll be, I think, the week of Easter. So this will come out next week in the time that we're recording. So I'm so excited about that. And the person that I wanted to have join us to talk about what the Bible says about our money is my momo. Her name is Vera Blakes. She is my mom's mom, so my grandmother on my mom's side. So I'm so excited to have her. She's been a big influence for me in my spiritual life. As you know, going to visit her, we definitely made sure that we went to Sunday school and church growing up. And while I feel like my journey in religion has had a fresh start very recently in my wanting to be more intentional in it, I'm definitely looking to learn from her any way that I can in terms of just my study of the Bible. I know, Momo, you like to read different variations, different versions of the Bible. So I'm excited to just hear the experience and the depth of knowledge that you have from reading it. I know you're definitely more experienced with it than I am. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this. I've not been interviewed by my granddaughter before, but so it's a pleasure. I do enjoy your podcast, The Silver Spoon, and I'm always telling someone about it. So because I'm learning from The Silver Spoon myself. Thank you.
Thanks, Momo. I definitely appreciate that. Well, let's get right on into our conversation. So before we really dive into what exactly the Bible says about our money, I wanted to ask, what are your origins and sort of the start of your relationship with God and with Christianity? I know oftentimes we may have experience in our youth, but I don't think I've ever asked you, what is your sort of faith journey, your testimony?
Oh, well, okay, my testimony. Well, let me just talk about, you use that term origin. So I have to go all the way back to my mother and father and my grandparents and how I saw them making it in times when it was difficult and all. So that's kind of when I say origin. I go back to when we had a garden. When my grandfather would fish 6 days out of the week, he would not fish on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Strong Christian, so he wouldn't fish on Sunday, but 6 days out of the week. And so we always had food and lots of fish, but food. And then my dad loved fishing and all. And then they also had a garden. And so we were provided for because people worked. Mm-hmm. And people worked at something so that they could have something. Right. I heard someone on one of your podcasts say, nothing works without you working it. And I say, wow, I love that saying, because mm-hmm. it's true. Nothing works without you working it. So I grew up in a family that worked. Mm-hmm. We worked it and we made it work. And therefore, we were successful. We weren't rich. Now, please, this is a financial podcast, so I don't want to say that. But we made it work, and it was good. So I saw that as a pattern in my life. And so, and along with that pattern, though, was always for us, Christ Jesus. In our case, it was Jesus. And so I saw that too. I saw what it meant to help others, to go to church, to study God's word. Now, as a teenager, or when I got to college, I strayed away from it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just didn't go because I didn't have to go, and nobody was looking over my shoulder and all right. of that. So I got kind of lazy, wanting to lay in the bed on Sundays because I felt I deserved it. So, you know, mm-hmm. that happens in life too. But the pattern was already set and all for me that if you want to be prosperous in anything, you need to have a firm foundation. And my foundation is found in Jesus Christ.
Love that. I love that, Mama. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, that's very true. I think for me, it's that same message that sort of struck me. Mm-hmm. I went to a conference a couple of years ago, and it was a conference for entrepreneurs. And so it was others, you know, people of various different stages, whether they're just starting off or maybe they've already mm-hmm. made their first million. But a large theme of the conference was you know, your spirituality, specifically Christianity. Yes. And they, you know, talked about how, you know, every person that went up there had a strong relationship with their creator, with God, mm-hmm. with Jesus, because it was, you know, they knew that it wasn't what their success that they were seeing. It wasn't going to be possible without without him, without adhering to what he sees for us, for our purpose in life. So I think yes. that is important, that you definitely mm-hmm. do have to start in a foundation mm-hmm. there and then be able to sort of grow from there. So I love that. I love hearing that. So thank you for sharing. How would you say faith has played a role in your successes, both financially and maybe not financially?
You know what, if I were going to title what we're talking about or what I'm talking about today, mm-hmm. I would call it grounded in financial joy. Ooh. Now, I'm going to back up after saying that, but mm-hmm. grounded in financial joy. Okay. Remember, I talked about my grandfathers and my, you know, my grandparents and what I saw in them and what I saw in my parents also. And also that was part of my grounding right there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think that has helped me most of all was to have a spirit of giving. I think that's helped me financially because I realize that I can't hold my fist so tight, mm-hmm. and I'm doing this, and hold on to everything, and then expect something to come into this fist. How can mm-hmm. it come in if I'm holding it tight? Mm-hmm. I had to open it. And when That's you true. Open it, you're giving out something, and everybody has something to give. Mm-hmm. Giving is not just money. So I want to make, I know this is a financial podcast, but giving is not just money. Mm-hmm. Giving is giving from your heart, whatsoever you may have. Sometimes it might be just listening. I have gray hairs now, but I can remember the time when I would sit and listen to older people. And, you know, all they wanted was somebody to listen to those same old stories that they would tell over and over about mm-hmm. back in the day. In fact, you might not remember this, but Kennedy, you all called my mom mm-hmm, old, back in the day. Y'all mm-hmm. said old back in the day. She mm-hmm. came to love that title since you all gave her that title. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would listen to people and give them my time when I could have been doing something else. But see, that's giving. I'm just using that as an example. But yeah. for me, my basis is always to be ready to give. And when I started really studying God's word for myself, not just listening to the pastor, the preacher, the rabbi, or whatever, but listening for myself, I realized that in this word, God had so much to tell us about our relationship, I'm calling it with finances, our relationship with money in particular, and all. God is a giver. We know He's a giver. And all, this is Easter season. And if nothing, if no other time of the year, we should know that God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. God gave, I'm going to put the emphasis on gave. God gave. God is a giver. And we know that in turn, Jesus gave. So so we are, if we are created in their image, then we ought to be givers also. So, and then I would go found scriptures that would support that. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. If I can go ahead and jump to a scripture.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. I want to tell you about a scripture that I found in the book of Haggai. Haggai is an Old Testament book. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, this is going to be an easy thing to read, you know. So I turned to that book. Mm-hmm. And in the first chapter of that book, what does the Lord say there? He says, you give your money and you put it in a pocket with holes in it. I wish I should actually, I hate to misquote it at all. But anyway, but it tells us that we give. It says, I'm going to look at it a little bit, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah. No, go for it.
Okay. It says in there, look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but you're not satisfied. You drink, but you are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you cannot keep warm. Your wages, your money, disappear as though you were putting them in pockets with holes. Now, that's the part. When I read that, it said, I'm putting my money in pockets with holes in it. Let's say you have $300. You put that money down in the pocket and you're walking on the street. Mm-hmm. By the time you get to the end of a block, that money done fell through your pocket and right. It's out there on the street someplace. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what, when I saw that, I said, you know what, God, I've got to consider my ways. Now, what are some of the pockets I've been putting money in, and it's just been going through? I'll confess, for me, it was shopping for shoes. Mm. I love shoes. I still do. But now I don't even have any place to put more shoes. But I was, every time I would go to the mall, and I love to shop. I really did. I'm not doing as much of it now, mm-hmm. and all, but I love to shop. So every time I go to the mall, I would come back with maybe two pair of shoes. That was a good day if I only did two pair, but I love shoes. So I was really putting money in a pocket with holes in it, because guess what? So I looked the other day, I had some shoes. I gave them away. I had some shoes I never worn. And guess what? I have some heels. And now that I'm at my age, mm-hmm. I need to be at least below 3 inches in a heel. But I had, you know, and I said, you know what? I need to get rid of these. But so my tactic on now, my strategy had to be stay away from the shoe department. So that was my pocket with holes in it, that shoe mm-hmm. department. Mm-hmm. I was in San Francisco once, and I'll be honest, oh, Macy's had the best shoe department ever in San Francisco, because it was almost in an entire store of nothing but shoes and one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I came back from San Francisco. I literally had to buy another suitcase. I came back with five pairs of shoes.
Wow.
And one was Ferragamo. So I was like, wow, I'm doing great here. Yeah. But anyway, I even bought my sister-in-law one pair. That was what? Putting money in a pocket with holes in it. Mm-hmm. And so that's just an example. But we all need to examine ourselves And that's what I had to do and say, wait a minute, what am I doing? Consider my ways. Look at my finances. I'm spending a bunch of money on shoes and I got a shoe closet mm-hmm. full of shoes. And you were recently at my house and you know I also have shoes on the side of that closet because the shoe closet is full.
Right.
But that's just an example. And I thank God. I thank God for forgiveness. I thank God for giving me some wisdom and knowledge. So one of the things I do is I try to stay away from the shoe department as much as possible. I do still occasionally go. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I leave with nothing, though, which means I got a victory in that financial area, you know. But that's just an example of what we need, what I think we all need to do. We need to consider our ways and watch out for those pockets with holes in them. It could be many. It could be food. It could be what? Restaurants. We love to go out and eat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It could be restaurants. You could be overdoing it with the going out to eat to the restaurants and all, you know, and I'm not saying you may have plenty of money and hey, it doesn't matter to me. I have plenty of money, but perhaps there are other things you could be doing with that money.
Right.
Consider your ways. Perhaps you could be helping someone else out, a giver. Be a giver sometime and give into the lives of people, give into something that's going to produce growth. And that includes saving, but we can talk about that later.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And I think especially in this day and age of, you know, how we are very easily influenced by what we see, you know, on whether it be on Facebook or Instagram or wherever else, just because it's at the touch of our, you know, tip of our fingers, we may be very susceptible to those things that we are just putting our money in where we don't need to be putting it. We might be putting it in places where maybe, like, for example, you like shoes. That's something that you enjoy, but maybe you might be putting it in, you know, might be purchasing something that you don't like, but it's, you see everybody having it and you see everybody enjoying it, but now you just purchase something that you're never going to buy. So I think it's really important that we understand our values so that we can consider our ways and be more intentional with our money, because maybe we do enjoy, we get that, you know, short term burst of energy or, you know, good feeling when we buy it, but then it doesn't provide us or anyone else with anything long term. You know, it doesn't provide even that joy long term.
That is so true. And I know I could say ouch when you said the word. Sometimes you buy things and you don't even know why you're buying them or what use am I going to get out of this? Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this and all? So I can say ouch to that one, because that has been me too. I have things in this house now that never been used. I don't even know why I got it. But at the time, it either looked pretty or it satisfied an emotional need of mine, emotional and all that. Hey, I want to buy this. So I just bought it and I said, I'm going to make use of it. Oh, I was going to become an artist. That's an example of one for me.
Oh,
I bought all these little paints and I bought the canvas, couple canvases and all that. I'm going to become an artist. I'm going to learn how to paint and do this and all that. I even bought sketch pads and I still have them. But, you know, and I did. And guess what? I tried once to do an apple tree. I got as far as getting the apple tree done. And I've done nothing else since then. And now I got all of this that I can't use.
Right.
So guess what? Salvation Army, Goodwill, here it goes, because I got to get rid of it.
Right. Yeah, no, that's very true. I wonder if this scripture has anything to do with, you know, that phrase, it's burning a hole in your pocket, sort of. Like, I wonder if it is like it's similar or has anything to do with the origins of that phrase, because I think about like, oh, like, you know, you may have things are just burning a hole in your pocket, so I wonder it's
burning a hole in your pocket, exactly, which means it's gonna fall through. That's good. Exactly. I think when we become spenders like that, or like I was once called, oh, wow, you're a power shopper. I don't ever want to be called a power shopper again.
Power shopper.
And all it is, it's like, oh, I got some money and it is burning a hole in my pocket. So what do? I head to the mall, or these days it's not always heading to the mall.
Right.
And I try to stay away from Amazon, Temu. Well, they all are out there, you know, and they write at you. So it's like, wow, this is a good buy. And all, but you're right. So that money, so you're just burning it up.
Yeah. No, that's very true. Now that was a great one. I love that one. I'm going to earmark that in my Bible as well.
My scripture for that was Haggai chapter 1. And I was reading starting from verses. I think I read from verses 4 through 6 or whatever, but it's chapter 1, the first few verses in that chapter.
Okay. All right. I'm making a note of that for myself. Okay. Perfect. All right. So moving on, I know you mentioned a little bit about giving at the beginning. And I know there's another scripture that you have, but I also have one that I feel like this is a common one. Everyone might be familiar with this scripture, but it's 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes. I love that one. You're right. Yes. God loves a cheerful giver, but God loves a giver that's giving from the heart. That's what it's saying. Don't be compelled to give if that's not what you want to do. And all. God doesn't force things on us like that.
Right.
But he does. He wants you to give and give from your heart. And when you do that, you will reap so many benefits. And you're not giving in order to reap the benefits. That's why I said you're giving from your heart. You're giving because I just love to give. Some people love to give dinner parties. So they will spend money on all types of food and things because they love to invite people into their home and have a dinner party or something. Other people love to do fundraisers or give to, needs that be out there that they do fundraisers
different charities.
Different charities and all. Other people love to do that. So what you do, you almost make up your mind that this is what I'm going to give. Red Cross is one of my favorite because I know the work of the Red Cross, you know, and all. And I can remember it when my husband died, how the Red Cross called my daughter, my oldest daughter, to let her, you know, to make sure she was able to get home and everything. So Red Cross is a good place to give, but there are other places that's good to give also. Oh, and GoFundMe. Now, of course, you got to be careful with GoFundMe. I'm
going to
say that. But GoFundMe, sometimes if you have a giving heart and somebody says something about they're setting up a GoFundMe for someone and all, like in my town here, they set up one because this little baby died and the family couldn't afford to pay for the, you know, the burial, the funeral, for the things that would be involved there. So they did a GoFundMe. And of course, giving people are going to give into something like that. And all, you know, so there are so many ways, I think, to give. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, and I'm going to do the King James, the old King James way of saying it, that it says give. At first it says that you're to give, pressed down, shaken together and running over.
Yes.
If you give, then it says men shall give into your bosom. Now, let me explain what that means. And I honestly should look at it in more like the New Living Translation or the Passion Bible, because they're much easier to understand. But basically what that is saying is that, guess what? When you have a giving heart, God is going to work on the heart of other people so that other people, that's why it says, shall men give into your bosom. In other words, into your life, into your need, whatever need you may have, but you give and then you and leave it up to the Lord. He knows who's the right one. Sometimes, guess what? That men give into your bosom may well be a promotion. Yeah. You're working on a job. You know, you have a giving heart. You do extra work even. You might be one that you help other people in the office or whatever. You're willing to help out wherever. You're willing to do those other duties that's not necessarily in your job description. That's giving. When you do that, somebody may be noticing and watching what you're doing and all. And you may end up with a promotion. I want to give you a quick example of that in my case. Mm-hmm. I'm a social worker by profession, a licensed social worker, went to LSU, and got a master's in social work. Just want to mention my school. They're doing well right now in basketball, the women. But anyway, so I digress. But I got my degree in social work and I was working, you know, working for the state of Louisiana. And lo and behold, after, you know, almost 20, well, after about 15 years of working for the state in various positions, I was getting promotions along the way and all. Lo and behold, someone called me. I was over a group of people. One of the groups that I was over was the file room staff. They had welfare files back to the 1930s and all. But anyway, I was over there with that staff because I'm a person. I can work with you. I can work at any level. If I need to sweep something off the floor, it doesn't matter that I have the title of director. Get the broom, sweep it up. It's okay. So I was over there and they called me and they said, Vera, the governor's office has been looking for you. Went the governor's office? Who knows me at the governor's office? And that was, and then I said, oh, what have I done wrong? You know, I could never think that. Guess what that was? They were offering me a promotion, a super big promotion to become the head, at that time it was called assistant secretary, but it was the head over some major programs in the state, child support, food stamps, temporary assistance, money, you know, welfare assistance and child care assistance, these big major programs. He wanted to appoint me to that position. Now, who was noticing me? And to this day, I don't know who was noticing me that they would put my name before the governor because he didn't know me. But he did entrust that agency with 3,200 people to me. Now, that's an example there of you never know who's paying attention to you. But do your work as unto the Lord. Remember what I said earlier that nothing works until you work it. Yes. So that's giving once again. And then financial blessings occur off of that. You get a nice retirement, you know. You get a nice retirement. You get a super big salary bump or whatever will come into your life and all. Now, please be wise with whatever is given to you is the other thing that I would say.
Yes, definitely. Something struck me as you mentioned that, especially I know being a part of the millennial generation, we can find that we're a little bit very selfish. We might come from we might have a lack mindset and thinking when it comes to giving that there's not necessarily enough to go around for myself. So why do I feel like I need to, you know, give to someone else? And even when you mentioned how, you know, you were willing to, you know, humble yourself and work at any job, even with, you know, a master's degree, you were, you know, sweeping if you needed to, wherever you could help out, you were willing to humble yourself to be able to eventually, you weren't sure that the promotion was coming, but it did eventually come. And I think that that's something that's really important to look at for, especially for my generation. I think that we always want everything, you know, right away. And I think something that you mentioned, especially when you were reading the scripture, is God will work on the heart of others, you know, to give to you. And I don't think I've ever even thought about it before like that, because that almost, that phrasing even kind of tells you that it's not going to be an immediate, it's going to be a delayed thing, because heart work takes a while. To change the posture of your heart is something that requires deep work. And you might have to see, you know, okay, I didn't know who Vera was, but now I've seen her, you know, vacuuming. I've seen her over here, you know, helping this team. I've seen her organizing the files. I've seen her everywhere. And so over time, they see, okay, all right, I think she embodies exactly what we're looking for, but that takes time. So I think that was even a lesson that I wasn't even thinking of as you were mentioning and as you were talking about it, because it definitely, there is a time factor. You give, but you shouldn't necessarily expect right away. You don't know what the blessing is going to come, what it's going to look like. It could come in promotion. It could come in so many different ways, but it definitely takes time.
Exactly. And it could be something as simple as, let's say you're in the grocery store and you don't have enough for money to, you know, you don't have enough cash money or whatever for your groceries. And all. Somebody could say, that's okay, I got it. You see? They just gave into your life. They just poured into your life. Or even more important than that, perhaps you might be the person who can say, I got it. Let me pay for this for you. And we've heard about, and there was a movie on it, paying it forward. Remember, paying it forward. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're doing that even before. You're paying it forward. So you might be in the fast food line of a grocery, of a McDonald's or one of those places. Right. And you drive up to the window and the lady says, oh, that car in front of you just paid for your order. Yeah. And I say, what? They paid for my order? Wow. And what's the first thing I'm going to tell you? I always say, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And but that's all, that's giving too. And that's why I like for people to know, when we talk about finances and we talk about giving, there's so much that you have to give. Right. We all have something to give and all. It's not always a dollars or whatever and all of that even, but you do have some. If you look at how you're spending your dollars, and I talked about this with one of my daughters, I said, you know how much you're spending on that Starbucks every morning? I said, that adds up. I said, that adds up every morning. You know what? I said, you could perhaps take some of that and put it in a little jar. And then, you know what? One day you just give it to somebody. They're going to be shocked. And they really are going to be shocked when you do it. But then you just say, hey, this is for you. Keep on walking. Keep on going. You're not giving it to them so they can say, wow, there went a great person. And ooh, is she nice and all that. No, it's not for that. You're doing it because you want to do it. And you're doing it because you have a spirit of giving.
Yes. I love that. So I know we've talked a little bit about, like, you know, things that we could be thinking about for how we spend our money or how we give it away. But maybe what are some ways that, you know, God is instructing us on how we should potentially be saving our money and how we should be managing it?
Yes, managing it. Oh, that's good. God tells us that we are to be good stewards. And a steward is someone who has responsibility over something that actually belongs to another person. That's why you're the steward of it.
Right.
And in our lives, if we think about it, all that we have, everything in bank accounts, CDs, whatever you may have, you were given that, but it all belonged to God, because the word says, in the beginning, God.
Yes.
In the beginning, God. So whatever we have, we are stewards over what belongs to him. So I always say you need to be a good steward. You need to be mindful, like I talked about, consider your ways and all. But be a good steward over whatever it is you have. It may be plenty. It may be small. You may live in a very small little apartment house, or you may live in one of those fabulous palatial mansions or something, you know, and all. But whatever it is, you're the steward over that. Mm-hmm. So take care of it. I've heard people say when they rent a car that they don't worry about that because this car doesn't belong to me. So I don't care how I treat this car.
Right.
That's wrong. That's wrong thinking right there.
Right.
You should treat that car as if it's going to belong to you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And all, and take it back to the company in good shape and all. I think that's why they charge you a lot of times and they inspect it, because they want to see if you caused any damage to it and all. Well, we can cause damage in many ways and all. I'm a grandmother, so I need to be a good steward for my grandchildren.
Right.
I need to set the right kind of example for them and all. And that includes a financial example, too. If you were at my house, you would see I have what I call my black books. And no, my black books are not books that contain the names of people I've dated or whatever and all of that. You know, the back in the day stuff.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, but guess what? My black books, one contain my expenses. And I can go back, the latest one that I'm on now, I write things down. I know we can put it on our little computers and all of that, but sometimes those things don't work. But in my little black book, I can go back right now to 2020 in the latest book, and I can tell you what my electric bill was in such and such a month in 2020. And I'll use that one until it's, you know, it's used up.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my expense side little black book. But guess what else I have? I have what I call my resources black book.
Okay.
That black book now contains, and I know for young people, you may not be there yet, but you can start somewhere. My little black book for resources contains insurance policies, CDs, my retirement account, some other, they're resources, they're assets. And I can go and I can tell you what the last statement said. Some send me a statement once a year. The stock, I can tell you how much Exxon stock I have. You know, and I say, I'm not getting rid of this. My youngest daughter wanted me to get rid of it. I said, oh, no, I'm going to hold on to this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not a lot. But guess what? It's in my resource black book. And I want to look, and I can look at it and say, am I making any growth in this, or what's going on with it?
Mm-hmm.
Or if I need something, I can say, well, hey, I could go cash that one in or whatever. Mm-hmm. Savings bonds. I have savings bonds that have matured. They have made 30 years. You know, they mature after. So, and then after 30 years, the United States government will not pay you any interest on them. They have your money, but they won't pay you no interest on it after 30 years.
Okay.
Yeah. But gosh, you keep a savings bond for 30 years, it's good. It's a good investment to have. So I guess I'm saying all of that to say, make sure you know your expenses and know your resources. And what you want to do is decrease the expense side increase the resource size. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that definitely does. And I think that's an important message as well, because especially with the decrease in popularity of like things like checkbooks, for example, and the increase of, you know, using like a debit or now credit card, I think it can be, you can easily fall into the trap of not being aware of where your money is, because you're just swiping and you're not paying attention. You're not reflecting. You're not going back and, you know, checking your account statement. So yeah, it's, it's impressive to me to hear, you know what your, you know, your utility bill was for 2020. Sometimes like I may not even remember what I spent on like maybe a food item yesterday or something like that. Or I'll look at my bank account and it's like, oh, I spent money on that. I didn't realize that. But that's why it's important that you have a plan in place and you have something where you're being a good steward of what you have. You're managing it properly. Cause I think it's important as well. I think that God doesn't trust you with bigger or better until he knows that you can manage what he's already given you. So if you are not able to properly, you know, handle the maybe $20,000 a year income that you have, no way you're going to be able to do it when you see $50,000 or even $100,000. Right. So I think that's a really big, important lesson. Just be aware of what's coming in, what's going out, increase your resources. Cause then of course you'll be able to increase your giving, whether that be to family, whether that be to, charitable organizations that you have of interest. So I think that's a very important note. And this wasn't a question that I had sent to you, but I think that this could be important for people to understand the distinction between giving, like maybe to charity, versus tithing. What is the difference and what is the importance in doing both?
Wow, I was going to get into that. So this is the Spirit of God, I know, and because I wanted to move into that. And the word says, because you asked me about different, you know, scriptures and all, and the word tells us to be tithers. Now that goes all the way. I don't care what religious or spiritual background you have. Mm-hmm. It goes all the way back to the beginning. Because like I said, God first of all gave Adam and Eve the garden. He gave and told them, look, you have dominion over all of this, you know. But God also showed us that if you tithe, and tithe means tenth, that's all that word means. It means tenth. So if you have income, and now we're going to talk about your income. If you have income, then you want to be a person, if you want to follow God's word, that gives at least a tenth of that income towards the work of ministry, towards the work that has to take place, a church, for instance, a synagogue, a mosque, whatever, they all have financial needs that have to be met. Right. So if we are saying, why should I give my money? And we give our money because we want the financial needs to be met. Now, they in turn, who they are going to be held accountable, they should be doing the things that God, that Jesus Christ really instructed us. Because he told us, when you've given to the least of these, you've given unto me. So when we give into by tithing, we are being a part of giving to the least of these. Mm-hmm. I have been to several countries in Africa, for instance, and I have seen some major needs there and all. And we may not have brought much. Sometimes we went to, my first trip was to Kenya. And we went to a little village. When you know what we brought there? We had medical supplies and all. We brought medical supplies and the villagers came out, you know, and all, and the medical supplies and all were presented. Well, it took money to buy those medical supplies and to ship them there and all.
Right.
My heart is really tender right now for Haiti. Mm-hmm. And I've been mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm.
Been to the orphanage and all there. Mm-hmm. But my heart is tender. So mm-hmm. therefore, your tithe, once you give it, you have obeyed God. Don't worry about, yeah, but I don't know how they're going to use my money. Yeah, mm-hmm. he's over there living in that big house. Mm-hmm. See, I've heard all these things said. That's right. Why I can see him.
Right.
You know, yeah, look at his wife and how she's dressing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Check your heart. Check your own heart.
Yeah.
Because you are the one now that's going to be in trouble because you are not following what God said. Because you are over there envying them, being jealous of them. Mm-hmm. And questioning what God will do with them. That's God's business after you give it. It's
yeah.
God's business.
That's
and guess what?
True.
God will handle it. And by and large, I'm going to be honest, more good is being done than that little bit of bad. And I'm not saying there's not some wrongness that has been done and may still be being done.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I'm not going to focus on the bad. Focus on the good. Keep your heart pure. Keep your heart pure in terms of giving. And that little tenth, one of the things that I always think about is, you know what? What if God said, I'm going to give you 10% and I'm going to keep 90? Oh, yeah. Wait, God, I need what? The 90. I'm going to
exactly.
give you the 10.
Exactly.
See? And it makes giving that 10 easy because I'm keeping 90.
Right, keeping exactly.
And you know, and I can do whatever I want with that 90.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very good plan. I wish the bank gave me 90% on my savings. but no. So I always think about that. And I say, mm-hmm. oh, no, God, I'm giving you the 10 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to learn that you want to give God more than the 10. You just want to. You want to give it into the work that he has said for us to do. I can't do all of the work. I can't go to all of these places. I can't bring medical supplies to all of the places that need it.
Right.
I can't bring food to all of the places where it's needed. But I can give my 10 and others can carry that on. So I was saying all of this to say, think about it from that way. And that 10%, 10% of a dollar, you don't mind giving 10 cents.
Right.
But guess what? 10%, when you start to get $1,000 and you say, wait a minute, 10% is $100 now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to think about it.
Right.
And you go on, but it's still the same old 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's still the same old 10. So think of it. I'm keeping 90 and I'm giving 10 away. And the blessings, I know blessings going to flow in our lives too. And I want to tell your listeners that when you obey God in everything, in whatever it is, God has you covered. I'll just put it that way. He's got you covered. He's got you covered. He has. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of your needs. I talked about you get a promotion or whatever, you know, or somebody would just give into your life. So obey God.
I love that. Well, I think that was kind of the question I was going to end us on, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because maybe you have another piece of advice for us. But what
okay.
is one piece of advice for those who are, you know, looking to actively work on their relationship with God or seek a relationship with God? What is mm-hmm. a piece of advice that you would give the listeners that are in that position?
Open God's word. Open up the Bible. Now this one, I'm just pointing it out. This one happens to be the Passion Translation.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's only in the New Testament, and they got the Psalms and Proverbs in here. But open God's word. Find a word in the Bible that pertains to you. Just one thing. Find one thing. For me, something that pertains to me was the word, I am his workmanship. created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has already ordained for my life. Now, I call that my freedom scripture. And the reason why it's freedom is, guess what? I don't have to toil at it so much because God already ordained it for my life. And if I'm his workmanship, he's going to take care of me, all of my mess. Now, underneath that workmanship may be a whole lot of mess. But guess what? God is going to take care of it. He's going to cover all of that and make that better. And for me, he made that better through Jesus Christ. This is Easter time. He made that better through giving his only begotten son to save us from so much that we all struggle with in this present world. Mm-hmm. But to save us, and by saving us, I mean give us peace. Mm-hmm. We're going to still struggle. You're going to still have some financial difficulties or whatever. You may have a hard time being loose from that credit card. Yeah. You know, American Express, oh, it's so easy to use it. And when you like to travel, and I know you, Kennedy, like to travel, have American Express, we'll go. I don't think that's their slogan, but anyway. But nonetheless, you know, it is so easy. So we're going to steal all, and that includes me, have those struggles and all. But guess what? He has conquered it all. And I want to, when I tell you to study God's word, I just want to give you a good example of it. And I want you to hear how good this taste, you heard me use the term taste, how good this tastes, because God's word has a beautiful taste when you get into it. Listen, it says, Yahweh is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His track takes me to an oasis of peace near the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me the right path and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Even when my path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have, Lord. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes me away from fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. And I'll stop with reading it just, you know, at that part of it right there. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. No matter what you're going through, you have hope, you have the ability to give, and you have the ability to change, no matter what the circumstance is. So get ready. God has a wonderful plan for your life. So get ready for it and just feed on his word and then say a prayer, a simple prayer like, Lord, help me. I need help. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. And Father God, I pray that prayer for everyone listening, that you help each one. And Lord God, that their hearts will be hearts of gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that is the perfect note to wrap up today's episode. Thank you so much, Momo, for joining us. That was awesome. I'm so excited to share this with the listeners. I hope you guys found some really wonderful takeaways. Definitely, the DMs are always open. I'm always looking to connect with other followers that are at the beginning stages of their journey, because I know how difficult it can be just trying to find a groove. So would love to connect. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll catch you guys next
week. Amen. God bless the silver spoon.
If you liked what you heard, don't forget to rate the show and shout us out at the Silver Spoon Pod on Instagram and TikTok. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Be sure to share this episode link with a friend, because we all deserve a spoonful of abundance. Until next time.